A crossover is...
Crossover dribble.
Sing for the crossover.
Kyrie Irving. Crossover in the lane.
One of the most famous crossovers of all time.
Behind the back, an ankle breaker on Chris Paul.
Crossover.
Crossover.
Left to the double crossover.
The crossover continues to evolve.
Time for the crossover. Gary Sharp Show featuring George. I assume that it's going to be a very interesting show. One guy's team apparently advanced this thing they called a Super Bowl or something, and the other guy's team did not. So, good morning, fellas.
George?
Morning.
Okay, you're good?
I'm a lot better this morning than I was last night.
Okay.
I didn't watch a snap of the Chiefs game.
He went and took a walk,
I'm not kidding. I got up, I left. Didn't have a jacket on. I had shorts on, and I just took a walk. And about 5 minutes into my walk, I was like, I probably should have grabbed a coat.
This was a mistake.
Yeah. It was cold outside yesterday.
You're like Ron Jeremy. Ron, what was his name? Ron Burgundy. Like Ron Burgundy.
Yeah. I hope you're not like Ron Jeremy.
You can be like Ron Jeremy if you want, kid. Good for you.
No,
but
I'm
Ron
good.
Burgundy, yes. This is a bad choice going out in the cold. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
I know. That's how it works.
Yep.
So, anything else happened this weekend?
No.
Nebraska media met with Coach Frost, and they talked about a whole bunch of stuff. That was big. And Hunter Salas set a date for when he's going to announce. And Vontae Dickerson, he committed from Minnesota. That's about it.
That's about it.
That's all I can think of.
That is about it.
That's about it for at least local stuff.
I will say last night, so – this time last year, I went to the game last year.
Yep, right.
I said about 10 minutes prior to kickoff, I was like, I'm just going to sit and I'm just going to enjoy the game. I'm not going to get super uptight. I'm just going to sit on my couch and I'm going to watch the game and not get up and pace and clap and all that stuff. I was like, you know
how
what?
How long that last?
This is pretty cool. It's three straight years. They've been playing in the championship game. They got a chance to go to the Super Bowl again. I was a little bit nervous last night before the game. Yeah, it lasted. When it was 9-0, I was like, okay. All right. And then it was quickly 14-9. I'm like, oh, yeah.
9 minutes left in the second quarter. The game was done. You knew what was going to happen from there.
If
you had a live option, get to the live option. Change your bet.
Then I was like, well, you think those ticket prices in Tampa have gone down at all? Nah.
Well, how many people are they going to allow? 16,000, you said?
Yeah, I mean, you pony up, so you're going to pay about $10,000. You're going to sit next to a healthcare worker, and you're going to wear a mask.
Yeah, well, you're not going to sit next to anybody. You'll sit near somebody, not next to anybody. You have to get your vaccine too, right?
I don't think
I thought they said all vaccinated workers. All
healthcare workers that are vaccinated.
They're not going to make the fans get vaccinated?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's weird because
so
if you make one group.
They gave tickets to vaccinated health workers.
Yes, they did, right.
Which is a pretty cool move. Ooh. Now, does that mean they're all Bucks fans? Are they all from the Tampa area? They're from across the country.
No, they're probably from all over the place. Okay. And, you know, even people living down there wouldn't all be Bucks fans. I mean, that's an area where you got a lot of different fan bases. And then you have people who move back from back east down there.
But of the way that Tampa is as a sports town, you know, they don't know anything about the Rays. The Lightning have been, I know they picked up steam. That is a good football area.
Oh, I was making sense. Didn't they just win something or like at least get close to winning something?
The Lightning?
Yeah, they
won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. So they're not been following that?
No, they've been following it for a while. When they finally got a permanent home downtown.
Yeah.
It's become a fairly good hockey town, but it's always been a strong Bucks town. When they were winning on a consistent basis, that was a tough ticket, and it wasn't necessarily, you know, like people coming down always to visit. You know, like when the Packers and the Bucks were in the same division, you'd have all those Packer fans would come down because it was warm.
Valid, baby.
When they're good, I would say it's 85% Bucks fans that are in that stadium, and it's all Bucks.
Oh no, I'm not saying the stadium. Yeah. I mean just the area.
No, it's a pretty.
As you were talking about the Rays,
you know what, I think
most of those people from New York are Mets fans.
I think winning
the
Super Bowl 20 years ago
helped
the Bucks kind of, and people loved Gruden, and then they went away for a while, and then Brady came back, and it's unfortunate for Bucks fans that can't be in a stadium. But
what the hell? How do you? So, all game long.
George, you're going to be okay.
You have to be saying to yourself, we cannot get beat deep by this old man. Do not let this old man beat us deep. And if you watch the Saints game, that was the idea. We're not going to let him beat us deep. Make him throw down the field, make him work his way down the field. And in the first half, first three quarters, it worked really well. The fact they let him throw deep in that situation with 7 seconds to go to Scotty Miller.
Yeah, you get beat by somebody at the end of the first half when you should, you know, basically they're going to go with a Hail Mary. And he's named Scotty. You should just, Kevin King should just have.
He should have walked off the field.
He should have retired at halftime.
Right there.
Kevin
yeah.
King had a rough day yesterday.
He did a couple different times.
That was
then,
not a good day.
And then a guy drops a ball and he celebrates like he did something. That drives me nuts.
And in that game, though, there was a majority of that game, I thought Green Bay was the better team.
They're the better team.
They
overall.
Could not take advantage
of the better team.
Some of the things that were given to them by Brady. I mean, that was not a Tom Brady win. That was a Tampa defense.
Tampa defensive win, yeah.
And it's been that way.
I thought the whole time, I mean, late into the game, this is going to be a three-point game. The Packers are going to score. They're going to get a two-point conversion. They're going to be up three. Then Tampa's going to try to score and go down there, and something's going to happen, like a pick or a fumble or something. That's what I kept thinking was going to happen the whole game. Until the end, obviously.
Whew. We'll talk about the end a little bit later.
Yeah. Everything about that game was just strange. And I mean, people give LaFleur a lot of credit for being a great coach and everything else. You can be the best schemer. You can have the best game plan. You can do all those things. That little 5% of being a coach that involves fourth downs, field goals, making certain decisions in terms of how you're going to handle personnel on important plays, that's what wins and loses championships.
Well, it's another weekend in the NFL of coaching cowardice.
Yes.
You have Matt LaFleur, who I don't think, if they would have told Aaron Rodgers, all right, we have 4 downs to get in the end zone here. Now, I don't know why they threw the ball. I mean, 3 straight plays.
First down, that's a handoff. That was called handoff. That's a called handoff on first down.
But you threw, but at
he
the end,
chose
you threw
to throw the ball.
Ball 3 times.
Yes, he chose to throw that ball.
You abandoned the run game. In the red zone, where you were,
that's not on LaFleur. That's on Rodgers.
But that not to even run the football. Now I think Rodgers. I don't know why Rodgers didn't run on third down.
I don't know.
you got the defenders who got their back turned to you. You mm-hmm. could have taken off, and even if you're not going to make it into the end zone, you're probably down at the 2. So then that changes what you're doing on fourth down.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
I think if Rodgers would have known they were going for it. If no matter what, there was no hesitation. He already knew that when you got the ball.
Right.
He
had to think that. You're down 8.
I would hope.
It's under 3 minutes and you're down 8. There's no way. All they need is a first down. I don't care if you have 3 timeouts and there's a 2 minute. By the way, another reason to go for it on fourth down is because if you don't make it, you're guaranteed to have the 2 minute warning in all three timeouts.
I don't know why.
If you kick off, that's not necessarily the same thing.
Plus, you're giving the ball to Tom Brady. He knows at least what to do.
Yeah,
and you're trusting
a
Mike Pettine defense.
Right, one first down.
That was mind-boggling. But then in the Chiefs game, so Sean McDermott all year he's gone for it on fourth down.
He
has been very aggressive.
Yeah,
and it has benefited his team. All of a sudden, he's playing a team that can score just like that.
Yeah.
You're kicking field goals?
I don't know.
You're not going for it on fourth down? I mean, that's coaching cowardice.
Even the first field goal. First field goal.
Yes.
I'm setting a tone for my team on that first drive. We're down here. I'm going to get a touchdown. And if not, I'm telling you, all game long, we're trying to get touchdowns.
And he's been doing that all year.
I know.
Been very aggressive, and they've been successful. And I don't know why all of a sudden he changed it against a team that can score at the drop of a hat.
Josh Allen runs for the touchdown if they go for it on that fourth down. The first one, because we saw it all day long. He had the opportunity. By the way, the total for rush, that prop was only 33.5. I thought it was silly when I saw it. And the fact that he ended up running for that on like 2 carries.
Yeah, he had a couple of real big where he was just wandering out in space.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what should happen when you're struggling being able to run the ball with your actual running backs. Your quarterback, if he's athletic, has got to pick it up. But going back to that first down, Green Bay – A.J. Dillon's in the backfield, who I thought they should have used a lot more because I know how physical backs can do against Tampa. You hand the ball off to him on that first down, he might walk in.
Well, I thought they would run play action with him. They would do something with Dillon on play action.
Well, that's what they ended up doing. They ended up running a RPO,
but
fake the handoff. I
don't know.
It was covered. Well, it wasn't covered. He threw the ball over the receiver's head. I'm not sure if he should have caught it or not. It was Lazard, right, around that play? It looked like it was behind him, but maybe he was supposed to stop. I don't know. I just know you run the ball down there in the goal line. That's how you score touchdowns. Even in the NFL, where throwing the ball is ultimately the most important thing, in the red zone to score, you have to be able to run the ball. With a quarterback or with a running back, one of the two. Or, like the Chiefs, with a tight end or a wide receiver. Right, because everybody runs the ball in the red zone for Kansas City.
Yes.
Same thing you have to do when you're playing in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I had no problem with that personal. I mean, that's a holding. It's a holding or a pass interference. Yeah. I don't care. The guy's jersey's getting pulled.
Yeah, you could have thrown the flag today and it would still be pass interference.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of plays. The interception that Tampa had, that was holding.
Yes.
That's a hold. Matter of fact, I'm sitting there again with that 11-year-old who comes and watches games with me. He called it. He plays Madden. He's like, that's interference. I said, or holding, and he goes, that's holding.
Look at, in a span of 3+ hours in Green Bay. By the way, that game was flying.
It did fly by.
It was like 4:15, and they were going to the fourth quarter, and I'm like, wow, the Chiefs game didn't start until 5:40.
Yeah.
But look at how the tenor changed from Aaron Rodgers going to win the MVP. And so the MVP doesn't win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Which is now like an incredibly long streak. Is you go from a chance to go to the Super Bowl on your home field to the way the game ends, whether your last offensive or defensive possession to Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay all of a sudden is murky.
That was pretty quick.
Look how that changed, like, that real quick. Yeah. And it's on Aaron Rodgers. He can decide what he wants to do.
Now, he's due contract through 2023,
yeah, he's got 3
right?
years. So but it's, essentially,
two
it's,
more years.
But essentially, it's him. I mean, if he decides that he wants to move on, then the Packers have to do something.
Yeah.
It's crazy how you went from such a great vibe with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to they lose, and he's got the 1-4 in championship games, to Aaron Rodgers might be done in Green Bay, which we're talking to Brad Gagnon.
I don't think that's the case, by the way.
I think he takes some
time to relax, yeah.
But the fact that it's even out there now,
it's because of the draft.
Kind of a quick turn.
It's because of Jordan Love. I mean, that's why it happened. The only reason, if Jordan Love wasn't on a team, that's not even a conversation. It's I feel bad. This was a horrible loss. I need to go on vacation.
I'd be scared if I'm the Packers, if Aaron Rodgers says I'm out, because there's other decisions to be made on that roster. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, then... But we were talking about this. I asked Brad Gagnon. We had him on Friday.
Yep.
Think about the 21... Before we play football again in 21, with just one more game to go,
yeah,
the amount of quarterbacks that could be changing addresses.
The next 3 months,
Stafford,
would be
possibly Rodgers, all of the new guys coming in, Watson, Wentz. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Rivers and Brees being gone.
We've never had this before.
Yeah, this is as much as we've ever had. It's going to be crazy. I mean, you go back to the year where Peyton Manning left the Colts with all the injuries and stuff and ended up with the Broncos. That was a year, that whole year, where there was a lot of guys moving. But nothing like this. And if you add on top of it, they're talking about 6 quarterbacks being drafted in the first round, which throws a whole new thing into the wrench. Because you have teams like San Francisco, are they drafting the quarterback? Is Miami drafting the quarterback? Will the Jets draft a quarterback? Those 3 other teams, you don't have any idea what's going to happen.
That's what happens when you only have 5 to 6, maybe 8, if you stretch it, teams in the NFL that are okay with the quarterback, and they won't pick up the phone if Detroit, Green Bay, or Houston calls them.
Yeah. I don't even know how – so you said that many, and – some are committed because of contracts to certain guys, but are the Giants happy with Josh Allen? I mean, not Josh Allen. Are they happy with Daniel Jones? No.
But they're
what are the Cowboys doing?
Well, see, that's where I think a lot of that. I believe that that's the first domino that sets everything off is what Dak Prescott does. And he's got until March, so
they can sign him to another. They can do a franchise, right?
Yes. Again, but if they don't. I mean, that really throws everything up. I think he's the first one to make a decision that really impacts a lot of the other quarterbacks, even though if you're Houston, you probably can't wait on getting rid of Watson. If you're Detroit...
It depends who they hire, really, I think.
I don't know.
Who they hire, I think, determines.
I don't know. I think he's pretty
You think
strict.
Even if they hire somebody that he wants, he's still gone?
I think so. I think he's gone far enough down that road, which is crazy that it can't be fixed.
But I think it changes it depending on who they draft. I mean, who they hire. If he really wants Bienemy and they hire Bienemy, maybe that makes him change his mind.
See, I wouldn't want that job now.
If there's
no commitment.
Right.
If you don't know for sure that Deshaun Watson's your quarterback, you can take the job knowing some other things have to be fixed and it's going to be a process and you don't have a lot to work with.
Right.
But if Deshaun Watson is not your quarterback, hey, I'm good for one more year in Kansas City. I'll wait for the best
the
fit
next
to come
one.
Along.
Yep.
Come along. There's been a lot of guys that have waited a while before they got their first opportunity.
You know where Bienemy, and I don't know if this would be a possibility because I know how Jerry Jones can be sometimes, but, I mean, Mike McCarthy could easily be gone after next year, and that Dallas job could be open.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Bienemy gets that for his first job because it doesn't feel like that would be the case, but it'll be open. There's a lot of other jobs the same way could be open. You know, things fall apart quickly in the NFL. You can be, we were joking about this. So 3 years ago, your AFC and NFC coach of the year were the Chargers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of them still have their coach.
Yeah. And
which is crazy.
Which there's another part of the, you know, the Dan Campbell. And good for Stafford's group and the Lions to be up front privately with their candidates that Stafford is not coming back.
Right.
So that's not a shock when he announces it publicly that when you get the job, you know, hey, it might be okay for both sides. We get a full rebuild.
Yeah.
I don't know what Dan Campbell's going to do. I mean, he could be off the rails and, you know, Detroit doesn't have a history of winning. But, man, I like Anthony Lynn as his OC. Yep. And I like Aaron Glenn being hired to that staff
That's
as well.
A big promotion for him to go from what he was doing with the Saints to being a defensive coordinator. That's a big promotion. It's a lot of responsibility.
I like the staff they're building, but I also like that they were transparent that Stafford's not going to be part of this, and it might be okay. You know what? Both sides can move on, and you can start over if you're with a new regime with a brand-new quarterback, and then Matthew Stafford can have his pick of, you know, is it Indianapolis? Will New England step up? I think Indianapolis, they have the cap room. Plus, they can get Stafford, and they can add to their team.
Yep.
That seems the ideal spot for him if he wants to go to a Super Bowl here in the next couple of years.
And if you're making the checklist, right, and you're Stafford and you're your agent, you're going yes or no, and you're writing all the things down in each category, I mean, the offensive line, the running backs, T.Y. Hilton, who's if he's healthy, the young Michael Pittman Jr.
Good GM.
All of that goes in the all right column where there's not a whole bunch in the other column.
Plus, you look at your division.
Yes.
And your division is kind of up in the air.
Well, Houston, you just talked about how they are, and Jacksonville, will, no matter what they do, will still be years away.
But somehow, some way, I think New England makes some noise and tries to get into that mix.
I'm sure they're going to try to get somebody.
But I think Indianapolis would be a spot. San Francisco, you know, will be involved. They've got a little bit of room.
There's
just the quarterback derby
and the money.
New addresses that could change in the offseason.
But the place I know that the conversation has been had before was with New Orleans and Stafford. They don't have the money to do it. I don't know how they would figure it out. But that is a place where I know that he'd be comfortable and he would like to play for Sean Payton.
Wow, that would take a lot of maneuvering.
Oh, you do. And that's what and that's all Mickey Loomis has done over these last 5 years, is done maneuvering. Every year people are like, that's it, they got no more, and then they'll do more, and then they do more. And so I don't know what they can do. The number they have right now is really bad looking, but when you start looking at what will be cut, including the $25 million off the top with the quarterback, it's not as bad as it looks, depending on where the cap goes, of course, which is a big deal.
So what is so Breeze is still on the books for next year, right?
Well, once he retires, then that $25 million will...
Okay, completely goes off?
Yep, once he retires.
See, that's the
because it was 2 one-year deals.
I mean, look at the Steelers situation.
Yeah.
The Steelers are in a bad spot.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he retires or you get rid of him, I mean, he's still at least a $20 million hit whether he's there or not. And he goes to 41 if he's there.
That's ridiculous. Then you bring in Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that was...
That was... Although I can look at it and think to myself, if there's anybody who could work with him and get him where he needs to be, it would be a kind of guy like Mike Tomlin, who would get in his head, you know, and say, look, I can fix you. I can do all this.
Is he the next Steeler quarterback?
I mean, you brought a guy in who's a first-round pick who certainly has some skills. Is it still a guy who his senior year in college or his last year in college had 50-some touchdowns? I mean, he certainly has talent. It's up here. It's all up here.
If he can show some maturity, and you know, that locker room doesn't have as many knuckleheads as it had it before, which is also crazy to think that Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are playing in the Super Bowl, or they will be on
Super
Bowl
teams.
They'll
be on rosters.
Yeah,
right.
Le'Veon Bell won't play, but Antonio Brown, I think there'll be probably a good shot that he will play.
Yeah, I don't know how bad that knee injury is. I would think if that knee injury was just a little, he would have tried to go out there. So if he couldn't go out there, I don't know how much better he'll be in 2 weeks even. But, I mean, we'll see.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
That's the 12th time this year he has caught a ball and taken off, and he's going at least 20 miles an hour.
At least, right. He probably hasn't hit his top speed
yet. I mean.
Probably not his top speed. Like, if he actually had to let it go, I bet it's even more than that. Wow. Yep. Yeah, anytime you have, was it 290? I believe 290 yards between those two guys. And 22 catches, is that right? Something like that. That's incredible. Your quarterback, 325 yards passing, and 290 of it went to two dudes.
And a good majority of those were after the catch.
Oh, yeah.
So
well, he had
I mean,
the,
I loved what Kansas City did last night.
Yep.
You know, Mahomes in the first two playoff games, they really have not tried to stretch the field and thrown deep, but they're all quick throws. Like last night, there were a bunch of quick throws. He got them out right away and just got them to Hill or Hardman and just let them take off.
It was the lowest pass per yard, air yard, of any of the playoff games this year. It's exactly what the Saints have done for the last 2 years where people kind of rip on Breeze. That is a system. If you can run that and you have guys that can run, like Tyreek Hill, or even when you get the ball to your big tight end, if you can do that, the system works. You just can't make mistakes.
No, and in play action last night, Mahomes was 11 of 11.
11-11.
So you had the quick throws, you had play fakes.
Yep.
I mean, I thought it was a great game
plan. Play action with no run game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great.
Which, you know, now 2 weeks from now, they only ran the ball 15 times against Tampa. And I thought Kansas City got off to a great start against Tampa and then let up a little bit. I think the line is right on, and I also think the total is right on. I could see a 30-27 type game.
Well, as I was saying in terms of betting last week, conference championship games and Super Bowls all start off slowly. So look at the first quarter under, which both of them hit this past yesterday. But then look at the over, because second halves of games slow down a little bit. The clock stops more. You have more commercial breaks. You have more of a chance to get going. And you'll see guys make huge adjustments during that halftime. It's so long. And they'll come out, and they always play better in the second half. And that's what we saw in both the games yesterday. The points obviously ended up going over. But I think you're right about the total. I don't know if the number opened at 3.5 and went down to 3 because that's just what gamblers do. I do not see the path for Tampa winning the game. I'm like, what's the path? Like, when you're trying to do it in your head, what are they going to do really well that they're going to be able to outscore Kansas City? Now, will their defensive line be able to be efficient enough to really get in the lap of Patrick Mahomes
possibly.
And cause him problems? Certainly it's possible. The problem with that is it doesn't matter. Look at that. That play right there. That's the exact play. Look at that Hughes, I think, coming after him.
You got 2 weeks, and you're going to scheme. I think the other side of the ball, I think Kansas City defense matches up really well with Tampa Bay's offense. I think that's where Kansas City will – that'll be the deciding factor.
If Tampa's completely healthy, like you're saying Antonio Brown, then no one really matches up great with him because very few people have the fourth guy who can be able to guard two good tight ends. And Brate's been a pretty good tight end. We know what Gronk can do occasionally. So no one really, if they're fully healthy, can match up with them. The problem is they cannot stop you enough, and there's no way they can keep up in terms of scoring. It's just not. I don't think it's going to be a blowout because it seems like a lot of times you guys let teams back in the second half. But I just don't know how it's close.
Well,
three.
First matchup, the Chiefs blitzed Brady a lot. I mean, lot. And they took away the deep middle.
Well, Tyreek Hill had 200 yards receiving in that game. In the first half, I think.
See, I think that – so it ended, what was it, 27-24. Kansas City got up big and then kind of messed around for a while.
Mm.
I mean, they were up really, really big.
Yeah.
But I think Kansas City's defense is a good – matches up really well with Tampa Bay's offense, and it's not like Brady is going to beat you single-handedly.
I mean, no, he's not.
What has Tampa has benefited from? Here's the biggest concern I would have for Kansas City is Eric Fisher is done with an Achilles injury, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You've already lost Schwartz. You know, they've mixed and matched. Like last night at the end of the game, they had one player that went in the same position that began the year. So they've mixed and matched, and they've got 2 weeks to scheme some things up. If that front four from Tampa can get to Mahomes, then you're in trouble. But again, it'll all be a lot of quick throws to get it out and not allow them and let guys get in space and run. And then you know what? Kansas City's not really turnover prone, and that's what Tampa Bay's lived on for 3 weeks.
The only way that Tampa wins that game or really keeps it close is if Ronald Jones and Fournette have huge games, which is possible, especially if the problem with Ronald Jones the last couple weeks, he hasn't been healthy. And we could see that in him. When he is a healthy back, legitimately this year, he's one of the top 10 backs in the league. Mm-hmm. And so if he's healthy and Fournette's going and they're getting the ball out of the backfield and they're using their two tight ends, then yes, they have a shot. But I don't know if they can stick with the run game because you got to keep up with Kansas City's offense. And you have to be willing to be committed and sticking with the run game. We knew Buffalo wasn't going to do that. Buffalo can't do that. They're the worst rushing team in the playoffs in terms of running backs. And so we knew they weren't going to stick with that. Now, on the other hand, Tampa knows they have to. That's the only chance they have. And here's the thing. Rodgers didn't run the ball in that first down by the goal line or in the red zone and decided to throw the RPO. What Tom Brady will do is he will stick with the run. That's something that he and Manning both had in common. When you look at that box, and that box is light, We're running the ball. No matter what, we're going to run the ball.
Yeah. But I don't see that. I don't see the line changing at all.
No, it
unless there's
to,
a major
it could go
injury.
Go back up to 3.5. Yeah. But it, I mean, it started at 3.5. Well, it will move, Gary, because it's 3 and 120 right now, and they're not going to leave it at 120. I think eventually they'll go to 3.5 and drop it to 110 or like 108 or something like that. I think that's eventually what will happen eventually.
But I thought when I saw that yesterday, I was like, that's pretty much right on.
The total certainly makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And all the totals now in the Super Bowl are going to be high.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the way the sports is right now.
Well, so both games yesterday went over.
They both went over. That was the 5 of the last 6 NFC title games have gone over. It's 14 of the last 20 between the two conferences have gone over. And in most of those games, it's been under in the first. It's just strange. You get off to a slow start. Was it 9 yesterday and then 7 in the other, in the other game? And then the teams get going, and by the second quarter, you get your highest scoring quarters. Hmm. Certainly, you know, 21. Was it 21-3 mm-hmm. in the quarter for you guys, the second quarter? Yeah.
Outside of a mistake by, you know, they ended up with Buffalo on the 2-yard line. Everything else was kind of garbage.
Yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't call it a masterpiece.
You think it's a
but
ratings?
I thought it was one of the better performances Kansas City's had all season.
Oh, as close to a complete game as you guys. I mean, the first quarter is what it is. But do you think it is a ratings success? Like, do you think nationally people have interest in this game? Brady is, as much as liked a little bit, is more disliked. I don't want to see Brady win another Super Bowl kind of mantra. And then Kansas City, as dominant as they are, isn't a national team.
Yeah. I don't think it'll be great ratings.
I don't think so either. I'm hoping for really good commercials. I'm going to play a ton of props, so I have a reason to watch the game. But it's not makes me that excited. Like, Green Bay and Kansas City, mm-hmm. I think, would have had more of a feel. Obviously, more of a national team. Yep. Aaron Rodgers is better, it's more like than Tom Brady. That would have been more. The Buffalo thing would have been a weird story. I don't think it would have drawn many eyeballs. But I don't know about this one. Just don't know.
Well, I'm here for 2 weeks of Brady and Mahomes, the goat and the kid. Can't wait.
It's the legend and the new goat. Something like that. They had a line on ESPN for it this morning. New goat versus the goat?
Like, what is Brady going to do more to his legacy? It's kind of – but there is –
wins this game, it does something that we thought was impossible to his legacy.
But I don't think it – like
– it does something – there's no way you thought.
Like, if you think he's already the GOAT, it doesn't go, wow.
But it takes away the one conversation.
But it does become this. So does Brady get in the conversation of a GOAT of sports?
No, it's not that. He no longer is the GOAT because of Belichick. If he wins here and there's no Belichick tied to it, it's a completely different level. Because everybody... almost everybody, whether it's ESPN, Fox, whomever, they say, yeah, but he played for one of the greatest coaches of all time, and that's why he's as good as he is.
I hate that narrative.
That's what you get with Joe Montana, with Bill Walsh.
Narrative.
You get it with other great quarterbacks.
You know
you get it.
You know what? There are a lot of people today that are saying, oh, you got Tampa in the Super Bowl. You know what? You predicted Tampa was going to be in the Super Bowl. They had Tom Brady was smart. He picked a team that could get him to the Super Bowl with the weapons around him.
He picked two teams, right? Saints or the Buccaneers.
Yes, I mean...
those are the two teams he was picking, and he knew he could take either one of those teams to the Super Bowl.
But I think you win in 2 weeks. You're in the conversation of goats in sports. I mean, what are you looking at? Russell and Yogi Berra were like 10-time...
11.
Yeah. So, but you're in that category now. I mean, he's had an amazing career.
He's never going to be at the level of Michael Jordan.
No.
In terms of being the GOAT. He'll never be Gretzky in terms of GOAT. But once you get past those major sports, because, I mean, you could obviously go to soccer and name a bunch of people, or you go to car racing, or you go to boxing with Muhammad Ali. He's not going to get to that level of team sports, but he could be 3.
See, I would put – so I'm glad you brought up Gretzky, because Gretzky is on that list for me, and then Serena.
Be. Yeah, for individual sports, sure. Like I'm saying, if you go to individual sports, you can start bringing other people in. But we're just talking team sports. It's Jordan, and I know how many titles Russell won, but it's Jordan in the modern era. And after that, then if you're bringing other guys in or other individual, it'd be Tiger.
Yeah.
So that's your Mount Rushmore if you're going to put like 6 people on the mountain. You'd have Serena, you mentioned, Tiger Woods,
Gretzky.
Michael Jordan, Gretzky, and then it would be open up for a guy like Tom Brady.
You'll be okay, George?
I'll be
right.
It's only painful for a couple of months.
Yeah. I'm good.
Only painful for a couple of
so
months.
So can I ask a question here without trying to be mean?
What
because
up?
I'm gonna be very careful today.
Wow, look at you.
Does this one hurt more than Seattle in 14 or the Giants in 07?
Ooh. No, Seattle was bad.
You were at home in the NFC Championship game against a 43-year-old quarterback.
Seattle was bad.
That Giants one I remember so well because the Saints were going to get the Giants in the NFC Championship and then lost to the Niners.
Gary, that's a good question.
Because I think those are, when I think of like heartbreak for Packer fans, those are two that stand out right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? This seems worse.
The only reason why I don't think this one would be worse is because Seattle, the Packers had it. They were ahead.
Onside kick?
Yes.
They were ahead. I think that's the only reason why those don't hit as hard, whereas this one was the comeback. You have to come back to do it.
You thought they were coming back, though, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they had opportunity. I mean, you get three interceptions.
I did. When they scored right away to begin the third quarter,
yep.
I thought, come on. Bam. All right, after they got behind, yep. And then they responded, and they got two quick touchdowns.
Yep. Oh, it is 28. Well, you go for two there. I don't know if you have to. But if it's 28-25, that feeling is, oh, this is over. This is the Packers. But as soon as it was 28-23, then you started thinking a little bit more about it. But, again, like I thought the whole time that they were going to end up winning the game.
In the pass that was – Sue got a fingernail on.
Yeah.
That was dropped.
Still surprised that it didn't get caught. But, again, I'm running – the lack of running the ball in situations in the red zone – with a guy who's 245 pounds and the couple of chances you gave him, he carried three players for four yards. You don't think in three he gets it in the goal line?
They're imbalanced on offense. And it didn't help that Jones all of a sudden became a fumble machine. He got hurt. But
he got hurt, yeah.
And they're, you know what? And I thought one of the reasons I really liked Green Bay yesterday going in is I thought their offensive line showed a lot against the Rams. Now, I know the Rams, you know, Donald wasn't 100%.
Yep.
But Rodgers didn't get touched in that game.
Mm-mm.
And what happened? Boom, he was getting sacked.
But well, we knew he'd get touched.
Their offensive line was falling apart, and they just had their imbalance on offense. Of what
Rams
they wanted
don't
to
blitz
do.
The Bucs blitz, like we talked about with Carolina. Those are the same kinds of defenses. Those blitzing ones, if you cannot get off the jam, which it was amazing what they did with Davante Adams, the way they limited him, the short passes and being covered the most time, you needed to run the ball. That's how you get them out of what they were running. And they tried early. And Aaron Jones gets banged up, but I think Dylan was the answer. He would run the ball 15 times.
I agree with you.
He would have run it 15 times.
When the little dose you got of Dylan, there was nothing that said, "Man, I don't trust that guy."
No, he's not a fumbler. He never has been. You know how physical he is, and it's later in the game, especially the fourth quarter after they've been trying to tackle everybody. You lost both your safeties are out. Who's coming up to hit that dude?
That was impressive that they lost both. Well. They lost Winfield before the game.
Yeah, before the game. Yeah.
For them to lose their safeties and still be able to do what they did.
Yeah.
And those guys will be back for
Whitehead, you knew he was going to eventually knock himself out because he kept coming in there and just throwing his body over and over and over again.
There
and forced two fumbles.
So there's another thing in that game which just makes us appreciate the technology of the helmet. The helmet-to-helmet hit where you've got, again, two guys going full speed at each other. Just the technology in a helmet that neither one of those guys are knocked out. That you just, okay, on to the next play. I mean, that's the second straight week we've had like a full speed collision helmet to helmet. Well, you got 2 weeks now. 2 weeks. So 14 Seattle, I'm vibing with you, George. As somebody that didn't have a rooting interest in that game, I felt
But that
for
game
you.
Was in Seattle, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I get that it was the end of the game and you needed a onside kick and everything, but
it's an onside kick. How often does that happen?
Well, not now, almost never. Yeah. Back then, at least you had a little better chance, but
and he had it in his hands and oh my God.
Yeah. And you're I know and I get it. I just look at this game and I think to myself, you're at home, you got this 43-year-old quarterback, he's throwing you picks. damn. Win the damn game.
The whole tenor of Aaron Rodgers in an hour from in-game to post-game is wild.
Right.
On
you
what,
win that game,
feels.
Do you have that conversation?
I don't think so.
No.
Do you have the conversation say you win it, you lose the Super Bowl?
No.
Is the conversation still had?
No.
No, but like they called him, it hurts. Oh, it hurts.
Sure.
He saw the game slip out of his hand. Yeah.
I mean, I tell you what a question would be. If Green Bay would have won yesterday and then won the Super Bowl, is Aaron Rodgers done? Is that a way for him to go off?
Done with Green Bay?
Done, period.
Oh, you mean retire? Well, he's only 36 years old. 37? 37.
But middle of the week, he started intimating about his future. Yeah. And just he started to go down that road that
he does
that
think
a lot
other
of
things. Yeah.
That a lot of players do.
Yeah.
And thinking, I want to go out this way. But
yeah. And he is a guy who's got a lot of other things that he's interested in. I mean, he wants to host Jeopardy. Yeah.
Well, I think he takes a couple of months off, gets away from it. They figure out what to do with that roster, and he comes back. But if he doesn't, wow, what an offseason in the NFL.
It's going to be nuts, man.
Yeah. All right, Michael, safe travels home.
I got the Make America Omaha Great Again show still. So.
Oh.
And I live right there.
My drive wasn't bad.
Yeah,
but
I can be there.
But also, there's not a lot of people on the road, which is the thing.
No school. People are not working. People are very smart to do everything they did today to get people off the road.
It's okay. By 2, George and I will have the sled dogs here to take us home.
Good luck on that. It's mush.